Blog Talk Radio.
The great and liberating things for me, and I think why this thing came to fruition, I made a big deal that this stayed quiet, and first of all, what I was doing, I was, part of the rumors are things fly out of that building, and so I wanted to see, could I trust this building?
Let us by law, we ain't go, we go, go. Let us by law, we ain't go, we go, go. Let us by law, we ain't go, we go, go. Let us by law, we ain't go, we go, go. Red, go, get red, go. Red, go, get red, go. We ain't go, red, go.
Santana,
red, let's go, red, go, go.
Let us by law, we ain't go, we go, dumb. Sippin' on a little bit of Puerto Rican rum. My beat a real low, go blooded to the death. Tailgate, got a little powder on my breath. Empire Road, still banging green lights. My 49, tall cans, double shots. Middle finger up, motherfucker, Seahawks. Red zone banging, got drama, let it pop. Killer California, Houston, Texas. This lane gang hopping out of Lexus. Niggas be frontin', not die hard. Popping out the mouth, E.R. Kaiser. Santana family rapping in the shy. Me and Arvello eating Giordano pie. Ray Red hollering, not as by law. Ace Tam chilling, go toes hard, wall, nigga.
Not as by law, red and go, we go dumb. Not as by law, red and go, we go dumb. Not as by law, red and go, we go dumb. Not as by law, red and go, we go dumb. Red, go, red, go, red, go, red, go, red, go, red, go, red, go.
Not as by law, nigga, that's what it is. I represent the city ever since I was a kid. Call me Joe Montana, my 16. Yep. 5-0 ring, fuck your home team. Your my tailgate team. Party is a red and gold thing. Bang, bang, nine a game. Yeah, ho, I'm faithful. That means if we lose, bitch, I still be grateful. Use a bandwagon rider. Always been a nine. Kings of the Bay, boy, call us five. Throwback, Jersey, Steve Young, Jerry White. Jerry Joe Montana riding light red and white. Mike representing for that black and brown power. We game day ready to kick off in an hour. Rolling up sour, my team number one. Nine is by law, the red and gold, we go dumb.
We go dumb. None is by law, red and go, we go dumb. None is by law, red and go, we go dumb. None is by law, red and go, we go dumb. Red, go, 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 red, go.
My interactions with Jed York is he's a guy who all he wants to do is win. He's tired of strife and contention in the building. He wants harmony. We can't beat around the bush. We got to get right to, do I want to work for these people? To me, that's an awesome deal. And I understand, I think just from being around it, from being a football fan, from being up there and standing, playing for Bill, from being around Ronnie and feeling his presence, to Tina Turner and Bill Ringler on that staff, I just get, what dawned upon me. This isn't just a normal franchise. This is one of the iconic franchises in football. And the opportunity to restore that to its glory and to work really hard to do that, that just got me. And so.
What's up, y'all? It's your boy Niner Faithful. This is gonna be dope. Okay, so we're doing our 2-hour show. What's up, y'all? It's your boy Niner Faithful. Thanks everybody for tuning in this week. Hope everyone had a blessed week. Today we got a special 2-hour episode of Niner Faithful Radio. We're gonna go ahead and do some pregame notes and take your calls and text. Adam's working on getting some people to call in. I'm hoping that some of the people that I reached out to will be calling in. Oh, Worst time to be coming down with a cold. So, start off the show. I'm trying to load it up right now. The computer's okay, cool. So, we got the inactives for the game. Right now it's loading. It's taking forever to load. Okay, well, this is the article. It's about the tight end Ross Dwelly. The Niners announced on Monday that they have promoted tight end Ross Dwelly to the active roster for the team's practice squad. In order to make room on the roster, the team waived defensive lineman Ryan DeClaire, a 23-year-old native of El Dorado Hills, California, so that's by SAC. Dwelly was 6'5", 240, originally signed with the Niners as an undrafted rookie free agent on April 30th, 2018 from the University of San Diego. He appeared in 47 games, 44 starts, and totaled 197 receptions for 2,305 yards and 26 touchdowns during his five-year career with the, I don't even know what that says. As a senior in 2018, he first earned team All-Pioneer Football League honors after he saw action in 12 games, 10 starts, from registered 50 receptions for 663 yards and 10 touchdowns. He was released by San Francisco on September 1st, 2018 and signed to the team's practice squad the following day. Dwelly will wear number 82. DeClaire was pronounced on the active roster against the Cardinals last week. So, okay, apparently that's not. I thought that was the inactives. Okay. That's the last thing to come out. So, they haven't even announced the inactives. I know it's is Adam calling. Okay. You know what? Let me go ahead and play one more song, and then let me get Adam to come on. And we're going to go ahead and just, here, there you go. We got some shout outs to do and everything like that. So, let me go.
Hands like like glue. You don't really want to tell me what you want to do.
Collide and conquer.
Cool. So Adam is okay. He's going to be calling right back. Adam, the call dropped, but Adam will be calling right back. So let me go ahead and go through my reads real quick. And by the time that happens, we should be Gucci with Adam. Before we get started today, oh, what's up, y'all? It's your boy Niner Faithful. Thank you for listening. Y'all know the number, 646-668-8467. The text line, 785-3015. Go on and hit us up. We were on for 2 hours today. Well, a little less than 2 hours now. But, yeah, so before we get started, it's official. Please come. Follow us on Patreon. Look what kind of rewards we got. We got special rewards, like, for example, why is this thing acting retarded? We'll send the show to you personally. I got a personal blog that I'll be writing for Patreon that will be exclusive strictly through Patreon. And it will be delivered however you need me to deliver it. So, 6 minutes. We'll need less than that. Go to patreon.com/Niner Faithful Radio. Hit the follow. See what we got going on over there. And we appreciate everything. Want to save on all ticket purchases? Go to seatgiant.com and use the promo code Niner Faithful Radio, all one word, and save as well as help the show out. We get a small percentage. That website again is SeatGiant, SEATGIANT.com, and the promo code to use is Niner Faithful Radio, just like the show title. Also, as always, Radio AFS has advertising packages for as little as $25 a month. Go ahead and email me at NinerFaithfulRadio@gmail.com or message me on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram for more details. Ladies and gentlemen, the man, the myth, the man who, according to a friend of mine, is just oh so sexy. I had to give him shit for that. Mr. Adam from 49ers Insiders. What's up, Adam? How you doing?
Not too bad, Big Dog. How you doing today? Thanks for having me on.
As always, bro, it's a pleasure having you on. So I'm juiced. I'm pumped. This is the first time Niner Faithful Radio has been able to actually be on air before or even just before or after whatever actual game. We didn't play Monday. I only started the show last year, and we didn't play on Monday night last year. And then the one time we played on Thursday, I just kept the show Monday and just waited, you know, it was, what, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. But 4 days after the game instead of the day after. But, I'm pumped. I'm juiced. Now, on last week's show, we went ahead and before we actually get started, why don't you go ahead and introduce your boy that's going to be coming on at 3:30
to kind of take his name is Chase Isidero. Sorry about that. Yeah, his name is Chase Isidero. He's a local San Diego guy. He's actually going to be meeting up with me tonight for the first time to actually go to the 49ers bar and watch the game. I'm excited. Definitely knows his stuff. He goes on a weekly radio show here in San Diego to discuss the 49ers and such. So, looking forward to it.
That's what's up. That's what's up. All right, cool. Yeah, I'm looking forward to having him on him on air. Getting, of course, always we love having you on. We love having you on, bro, or else we wouldn't have you. I wouldn't have you on every week. But
I appreciate
getting
that.
Always getting a fresh perspective is always awesome. And except for mine, because I'm not gonna not come on my show. But anyway,
unless you're in the hospital, you're the type of guy, even if you were in the hospital, obviously nothing too crazy serious, you would probably still do the darn radio show.
I probably really honestly, because so big shout out goes to Jennifer. She is the first person to come to me that ever since I told her about the show that I know for a fact listens to every episode live except one, which she just listened to it later. And so she's like, I always say she's my biggest fan. That, not saying it, obviously, I know there's many other people that have listened to every show. I love every one of y'all, but she's the first one that's actually like, you know, I've talked to and it's been like, yeah, bro, like I've listened to every show, you know? And so she went out and I had to give her a shout out, but anyway, getting to the game, I remember last show we were trying to, I said, okay, I'll kind of get Niners offense versus Packers defense. You can get Packers offense versus Niners defense. So my number one question that I have for you this week is, we all know, anybody who's read my keys to victory this week, by the way, thanks for retweeting it, bro. I know I don't always shout you out or anything, but I really do appreciate you retweeting it. That's
awesome. Love and support, baby.
Thank you. Much love, bro. And you know, I always, every time I see whatever you do, I always love and retweet as well, bro. But
for sure.
But so basically, Cam Inman, who does the local newspaper here in San Jose, he covers the Niners for the Mercury News. He kind of had five kind of little keys, little things to victory. And before I get into, you know, what he said, I kind of wanted to get your little opinion versus, you know, what you've studied and take away, what you kind of think of them. Number one, take care of the football. Yeah, I think that's kind of self-explanatory.
Right.
I mean, five turnovers cost us a game against a winless team. The number one note from somebody who was, you know, physically at the game last year. Oh, wait, we got a live caller. Hold on, I didn't even see that. Hold on, we got a caller coming on air. What's up, how you doing? You're on Niner Faithful Radio.
What's going on, TJ? What's up, Adam? It's Nick. What's going on?
Hey, not too bad, man. How you doing
what's
today?
What's up, Nick? How you doing, bro?
I'm doing good, man. Just checking in, seeing what's going on over there.
Nothing. Okay, so ladies and gentlemen, hold on. Let me give you a proper introduction, bro. This is Nick O'Hara, the founder and basically the big shot at nothing but Niners. So we went and finally got to meet when it was a home opener against Detroit, when we were able to hang out the night before the game. And so trying to get this man on the show, Adam, I know that you've been wanting to, you know, get him on the show as well.
Heck yeah.
So what now that we're all three of us are together right now, what's your kind of takeaway pregame? How you feeling about this one, Nick?
All right. So, I mean, obviously, you know, I'm a little worried because we're a little banged up. Obviously, all Niners fans know that. There's a couple big takeaways that I take away from this game. Matt Breida should be playing this week. I'm not sure if I'm happy about that or not yet, just because of the fact that if he's completely 100% fine, I'm happy with that. But the fact of us not calling up a running back, you know, from the practice squad and us actually putting Ross Dwelly instead, has another thing that I'm a little worried about. Is George Kittle going to play? I know he's been limited in practice this week, along with Garrett Celek has been, banged up a little bit as well with a knee injury. So I'm kind of looking forward to see who starts in that position because Green Bay's defense has allowed a ton of yards to tight ends this year. And I think if George Kittle can play this, I think that could help us a lot. Obviously, the health of Joe Staley, the health of Matt Breida. Go ahead.
Basically, the health of everybody except Lincoln Tomlinson on the offensive line.
Yeah. Yeah, and that is pretty much on point. I mean, you say it, you know, perfectly.
Yeah.
So,
Adam, go ahead.
The number one biggest thing we have to do is obviously you said it earlier in the show. Cam Inman was saying as well in his top five things. Number one thing is we got to protect the football. We can't go out there and run 92 offensive plays, have the ball for 40 minutes to a 19 minutes like what we had in Arizona.
33 first downs.
Yeah, 33 first downs, 92 offensive plays, 40 minutes time of possession. And we completely dominated that Arizona Cardinals team, which excites me a little bit because our defense played better, but we were also going up against the number 31 offense in the league. But allowing those turnovers in crucial areas and allowing them to score, basically took that hands out of our, you know, took that game out of our hands. So,
yeah, definitely. I mean, as coming from somebody who was physically at the game, I didn't know 92 plays. You know, if you would have asked me the second that game ended, hey, how many plays did the Niners run? I would have not known 92 off the top of my head. I would have guessed the 40 minutes. I'd have been like, you know what? It did seem like we really did have the ball majority of the game. You know, very encouraging thing I felt is, like you said, against the 31st offense, against a rookie quarterback making his first road start. Pretty much, fuck what anybody says. I can't speak about the home opener personally as far as, you know, the atmosphere of being at the game. But the atmosphere was fine from,
Levi.
Yeah, the atmosphere was fine. The players were clearly jumping, you know, they're hyping, you know, pumping us up and everything. You know, where I was sitting in section 125. So, you know, I was pretty much sitting in the end zone, but I was up higher. And, you know, it was packed and everybody was standing up and, you know, jumping and everything like that. So, you know, like you said, Cam Amon, don't turn over the ball. I mean, that cost us the game.
Yeah, that's definitely I mean, in any football game, turnovers are you know, your the turnover battle is going to be crucial to you winning a football game, obviously. You have to,
exactly.
But the other thing I'm looking forward to or looking to see this week is more capitalization when we have the ball that long. You know, only putting up 18 points, and I understand we turned over the ball five times. We missed a field goal. We missed an extra point, which is not, you know, normal for Robbie Gould. But we have to take those points.
We missed 2 points conversions.
Yeah, yeah, we missed the two-point conversion. So look for this week a lot of play time from Richie James as well as Victor Bolden. I'd like to see Richie James a lot more than we have. You know, last game being active, he only played in the fourth quarter pretty much. You know, he got about 3 or 4 receptions, I believe. The biggest takeaway from today or for tonight's game, though, is we got to create pressure one way or another. We can't – I know all Niners fans have been saying this all year long, but we have to generate pressure. We cannot – if we hit Aaron Rodgers, we have to wrap and sack him. We can't – we have to bring him down. We can't let him – get outside of the pocket, because if he gets outside the pocket, he's going to eat that zone defense up. That's
well, good news for us, and sorry to interrupt you there, Nick. He had a setback, I believe, on Thursday, so he's very banged up, and
yeah.
Good thing for us, the strength is up the middle, so as long as, you know, Buck, A.A., Thomas, you know, whoever's in there, Sheldon Day, Mitchell, like, at least the good news is he's probably not going to be doing hardly any rollouts, a lot of short passes.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously our defense and scheme is kind of set up for that, and we're finally healthy on defense.
Yeah.
Obviously that's
and,
always positive
and,
news.
And, Adam, you're absolutely 100% correct. And the thing that I liked about last week's defense was Robert Saleh actually implemented blitz packages with Reuben Foster blitzing. I think that was key to our defense last week.
Yes.
I think Reuben Foster needs to be as a blitzer. So I think that will help. Dropping
but the problem, Aaron Rodgers is number one in the league against the blitz. So I don't know. I'm a little hesitant to do it, but maybe you do it up early, you know, and kind of test them out.
Well, also the fact is let's be realistic on what one of Aaron Rodgers' best qualities is he has probably the quickest release we've ever seen of any quarterback I've ever seen in my lifetime.
Yep.
You know, that I can sit there and tell you, yes, I remember watching him play and, you know, his release is insanely quick. I mean, the point to me is pretty much Cam Eamon put it in his. It was key number two in my keys to victory was, yeah, I mean, you know, sacks, obviously, yeah, you know sacks are primo. But you know what? I would test, you know, I would hit Aaron Rodgers and if Aaron Rodgers is going to get more passes off, then more times he's going to be, you know, on the ground. And, you know, to me, is to get to Nick's point about Reuben Foster being sent on the blitz, let's be realistic. Is you know, Reuben Foster has good coverage skills and, you know, and is fine in that area. But what's Reuben Foster's best position or best – how is he best utilized? Is seek and destroy. Is Reuben theirs – the ball, you know, go get the ball, go hit the ball, you know, and seek and destroy. So
I think he's got a really good shine tonight. I really do.
It doesn't surprise me that Reuben Foster is going to be a good blitzer. Well, you can tell him, hey, look, there's where you're going to go hit the quarterbacks. And I'm not saying we need to move Reuben Foster or Reuben Foster needs to be blitzed all, but, I mean, if 2-3 times a game I see Reuben Foster coming up in the middle trying to hit the quarterback.
Yeah,
you know,
and he was definitely one of the best blitzers in Alabama.
Yeah.
But what I mean by utilizing him is he doesn't need to blitz every package, but if we're not getting pressure on the outside or in the middle, we got to dial up some blitz packages. We got to be able to defend that coverages, and we have to be able to have our guys, not to call them out, but Adrian Colbert, taking the right angles, knowing the coverages, being able to approach the defender or the offender in the right position. Because, guys, Richard Sherman has only been targeted, what, 3 times, only allowed 1 catch for, I think, 19 yards injury.
Yeah.
He's got an ankle injury that he's nursing. And faithful, please just don't drop off on Akello yet. He is playing injured. He is a young DB, but –
he's been a full participant for almost 2 weeks now, so I think you'll see a good showing from him tonight, but obviously we're all just hopeful.
Right.
Well, this is a point I had talked to a gentleman this morning, a fellow faithful. He was the offensive coordinator at one of the little, you know, PAL leagues and stuff in San Jose. And we were talking and everything. And I said, you know, to more, the point is that it's, I call it the Jimmy G cool effect. And that you know, having a good quarterback, we all agree Jimmy G cool is a good quarterback. Great, you know, elite, whatever, we'll see. I think eventually he will be, but, you know, he's a good quarterback. You know, I can't think of many young quarterbacks you would really want to start over him. So almost if you take away Jimmy G cool, what you've seen is a ripple effect. And I think what you've seen is that maybe as a football team, we're not as far as long as we thought we were. And as much as we hate to admit it as faithful, I hate to admit it because, look, I made a living humping it up and living off of it. The five-game sample was a small sample. And I happened to bring this up to another coach of mine, who Coach Tim, whose opinion I really do trust. And we were talking yesterday. I said, look, if you look at majority of our starting defense, Adrian Colbert, Jaquaski Tart, I know he's over 16, but Jaquaski Tart hasn't started that many games. Solomon Thomas, how many has Eric Armstead started? How many has DeForest Buckner really started? You know, Adrian Colbert, Akello, obviously Richard Sherman is fine. You know, he's a veteran. So my thing about it is I think what you're seeing is two things, and I wanted to get both of y'all's opinion on these. Is that one is that you got to take two steps forward, but you take one step back, and you're still a step forward. And I really think that, and two, is I really stick by what I said before the season when I think this is going to be a way better football team, especially the last five games of the season. We're going to be an exponentially better football team. I think things like tackling, I think like things understanding the scheme, I think like things like mental errors, which you clearly are playing with players that haven't played in the scheme that way. Adrian Colbert, I watched that play happened in the end zone I was sitting in. Is I watched it in, and I remember looking, and I said, the only way this is not a touchdown is if Josh Rosen misses the pass, and he didn't. He hit it right in stride, and I said, that's a touchdown.
Yeah.
I saw
that's
it right.
That's pretty much all Arizona did that game to
right,
win, really.
I said, he's biting on the play. He's trying to – and you fault him, but you don't fault him because he's trying to make a play. I mean, can we agree on that? He's clearly trying to make a pick or hit him.
I don't know. I'm not overly going to emphasize. Once again, the guy has, what, 6-7 career starts, something like that, ridiculous.
Yeah,
but,
exactly.
If I may give some optimism, and sorry to cut the both of you guys off, let me run through the defensive stats
really quick.
So we're number 11 in the league on total defense. Total yards, we're 12.
Let me do
a little tell the tape as far as Packers, but offense versus the defense.
Yeah.
So,
that tweet that you put out earlier, too. That was a good tweet.
Yeah, I don't know
the
if anyone's seen it, just
earlier.
In case, you know, some listeners out there haven't seen it. But we match up really well with our offense. So, the number 10 in total offense, we're 11th on total D. Total yards, they're number 9. We're number 12. Total points, they score 15. Ours is 30th, but it's pretty deceiving if you think about all the turnovers, which led to easier points for opposing offenses. Green Bay is number 19 in rushing. We're 7th. And then pass yards per game, they're number 10. And then we're the 15th ranked. Yards per play, we're 7th. Green Bay's offense is number 13. So really, we match up really well with our offense, in my own personal opinion. No Randall Cobb or Geronimo Allison tonight, which is obviously we'll take it as 49er fans, right? So the key to the game tonight, I think it's our offense.
Just real quick, and I'll let you speak, is that, Nick, do you have the official inactives out? I haven't seen anything as far on the website or anything as far as the official
inactives. It's coming out in 5 minutes, I believe.
5 minutes. Cool.
Twenty-five minutes. Yeah.
That's gonna be before the 3 o'clock. Cool. Whoever's talking, just interrupt so we can keep that. I'm looking at Nick's point. Nick brought it up earlier. I'll give him credit for that. George, I'm curious about if Lost Dwelly has to do with either George Kittle or Garrett Sellers. I think obviously one of them is not going to play.
Good news is it looks like Cole Wick is the one not going to be playing. It looks like Kittle will end up playing, like I kind of thought he was. He was
obviously
sorry,
not
Cole
nice.
Wick.
Like Cole is cool. He signed my autograph. Like, you know, he was a nice dude and everything. So, like, sorry you're injured, bro, but no offense, I'd rather have George Kittle and Garrett Sellers.
Yeah, I mean, so it looks like Kittle is going to play because I believe Chris Spiderman ended up saying that so pretty much Trent Taylor and Pettis were out there as kind of like the guys are going to be inactive and kind of going through a little bullshit warm-ups. And Kittle was not out there, so early signs are pointing that he will be active. It's just a little precaution because Dwelly is our second best, in my own personal opinion, pass-catching tight end. Obviously, he can't block that well, but just in case something happens to Kittle, he can be able to function in the offense still.
Right. Okay. So, Nick, go ahead. You're going to speak.
Yeah, no, I mean, I agree with everything Adam said. I mean, numbers definitely for our team this year are definitely deceiving. You know, we do rank, you know, pretty well in certain things. And like I said, or like Adam said, you know, being ranked down at the bottom there, you know, you have to take into consideration. Yeah, you have to take into consideration the turnovers that we've had. We've had a ton of turnovers. The biggest thing with C.J. Beathard is he has to – and you can see some – you've seen some signs of him doing better than he was last year of, you know, evading the pocket and being able to get out of the pocket and stepping up in the pocket and taking – and making those throws. The one thing I think that we really have to do this game is we have to test Green Bay by going deep. We have not gone deep in probably the last 3 weeks. We've been depending on a run game, which has been phenomenal with Matt Breida, you know, only touching the ball 10 to 12 times, averaging, you know, 7.8 yards a carry. We haven't really been throwing the football.
Yeah, well, great news is obviously Goodwin hasn't been healthy, and he's very close to 100%.
Green Bay is ranking number two against the pass, so we'll see what happens.
I believe in Shanny.
And I think that's one of the biggest things that we need to do is we need to test Green Bay deep. We need to get that play action working, depending on Breida's status and how he is playing.
Yeah.
Hopefully he is 100%, and you know he is able to finish the game, that he doesn't come in and then re-injure. You know, it was a mid ankle sprain, so you know they can take a week or two, depending on you know obviously your mentality to get back on it. But like I said, the biggest thing I think that we need to take away from this game tonight is I don't think we're going to get blown out. It's definitely, you know, there's definitely always a chance for an upset. But also in case of people, you know, there is a chance that we can lose this game. There is a chance we can win this game. But for us to win this game, everything in our factors has to go correctly. So we can't have blown coverages. We have to be able to hold on to the football. I believe that if we can do all of that, Kyle Shanahan will scheme guys open. Our offense will continue to move the football down the field as they have all year. But the defense is going to be crucial. Whether it's pressure, whether it's coverages, whether it's tackles, whether it's penalties, they have to come up big this game. I saw a little bit, you know, Robert Saleh has been taking a lot of heat, you know, from 49er fans, you know, firing him and all this other, you know, nonsense stuff. I had Ian Williams on our show just before the home opener, and he said something to me that basically took me down back to earth as well, is saying that 49ers fans, as much as we are looking for that winning-type team right now, we have to have patience with this team. This team is very young. He said, as when he came into the league, it takes you a good 2 years to even become fully developed into the NFL role. If you look back, DeForest Buckner is going on his third year. He's starting to come to his own. Solomon Thomas is going in his second year right now. Eric Armstead, he's really not even a 2-year player because he's been injured. So he hasn't even been he's been in the league, but he hasn't been playing in that mentality.
Let's not forget all the scheme changes either.
Right. Right. Tons of coach changes, tons of scheme changes, tons of positional player changes. So there's been a lot. So as Niners fans, like I was one of them on the Jimmy G hype train and stuff like that. Do I feel that we got a small sample with him and paid him? Yes, but the reason I'm not against it is because this front office did what they thought that they needed to do, and that was get a franchise quarterback under their contract, their 6-year contract is how long they have. And John Lynch has always said it, be patient. You know, I know, understand a lot of fans are mad that, you know, that we didn't go out and get, a Khalil Mack or, a Josh Gordon or things like that. There is a plan for the Niners team.
The plan is this upcoming free agency.
Just real quick, don't get it twisted. I think Jimmy G Cool is the truth. I think that he will, that's why I make the song, Jimmy is our king, he'll win us our 6th ring, and on that day the faithful will sing, Jimmy is our king. I really do believe Jimmy G Cool will win us the next multiple rings. You know, it's what we're building. I think that I'm not going to lie, I felt it too in everything, and that's why I love Nothing But Niners, 49ers Insiders, everything that, by the way, thank you, Kim. You're right. Jennifer is not the only one that listens to every show. Thank you, Kim. Everybody else. But, that's why I love it, is because I know y'all felt it too, because we all felt it, because we're all Niner fans. And so this is what we do. We're all faithful to our squad. And so I believe that if you take away, and me, Adam's opinion kind of, I don't want to say differ, because I agree with him. I think that if you got to kind of take Jimmy G Cool out the picture. Was there any reason to believe that the Niners were going to go on that 5-game winning streak last year without Jimmy G Cool?
No.
No.
Yeah, I'm saying that.
So, okay, cool. Now, this year you can make an argument getting Kirk Cousins, and okay, fine. But you have to really understand is that it was interesting. I forget who it was, but somebody last year had somebody on, like somebody from ESPN or something, and they said it's easier to go from a 2-14 to 6-10, 7-9, maybe 8-8, that kind of region team, than it is from a, that level team to a contending team.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, don't get it mixed up. The Niners were not a Super Bowl contending team this year.
No.
Right.
Yeah.
That's why I'm not mad. You know what I mean? I'm not like, let's just go all in next year.
Right.
My attitude.
Let me give you one stat.
Okay. Go ahead. Go ahead.
One stat real quick, TJ, about Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah.
If you look back and you look at Kyle Shanahan's years in Atlanta, right?
Mm-hmm.
Matt Ryan was not Matt Ryan under Kyle Shanahan until year two. His second year in the system, okay?
That's what I'm betting on.
And I'm going to give props to Mike, my co-host, on this, because this is what he has been saying the entire time. Jimmy Garoppolo, this was Jimmy Garoppolo's first year in the system.
Really, truly, yeah.
Technically.
He hasn't even been here for a year. We got him on Halloween. People forget.
Right, and people forget that. So they're thinking, okay, Jimmy Garoppolo's had a whole offseason. Well, guess what? Jimmy Garoppolo came in October of Halloween of last year, crunched everything that he could, and even there was videos and stuff out that he was calling his own plays because he didn't even know what the hell to do in the playbook.
Right. And the only reason why he did step in is because CJ got hurt, in my opinion.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So he was pushed into an offense that he did not know. Secondly, this was his first year in a full offseason and then only playing 4 weeks because of an injury. Don't expect next year that Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be the full Jimmy Garoppolo as well. This team is I'm not going to say we're 7 pieces away, but we're definitely a pass rusher away. We're definitely, until we see what Jerick McKinnon and Matt Breida can do together, we're definitely a running back away. And we're definitely a top-tier wide receiver, running back, and pass rush, immediately right off the board that you have to think of that we are away from being a Super Bowl contender. So
okay,
we have to take the good with the bad.
Yeah, well, you would have told me. You remember when we met the week before the Super Bowl? You had me on. We did it at San Pedro Square. We did the live video,
yeah.
And I said Super Bowl contenders next year to Super Bowl 54. We'll be Super Bowl 54 because to me it is this is what if you would tell me my attitude towards the Niners this year was. We're going to your point, both of y'all's point, Adam and Nick, was that if you figure around this time, give or take, would be around the year mark Jimmy G cool, or well, a little bit later this month, would be around the year mark he came here. So the second half of the season, I figured, okay, that would be around a year. You would see maybe, you would see, I think, a lot of growth with not just him, the team. Some scheduling, obviously, benefits, and then get in the playoffs, and you never shit. You never know what could happen.
The only thing is,
right.
Is
that
football,
was my attitude towards the team.
Right, and that's it's not a bad attitude. Like my opinion on that though is in football, it's not a calendar year. You can't go from October to October as a year because you have the off season plus everything else.
Sure.
So a full year meaning. 16 full games, plus, if you make the playoffs, like a complete football season. So from minicamp all the way till Super Bowl or when you're done playing that year, I consider a full year. It took Matt Ryan 2 years, like one full year to actually learn that system and then have the best career or career year of his entire season.
Yeah.
So – fans have to understand that, and they have to step back off the Jimmy Garoppolo. Does it suck? Absolutely, 100%. Does it hurt our team? Yes. But does the loss of Jimmy Garoppolo the only thing that hurt us? No. The lack of pass rush. Reuben Foster suspended for 2 games. Still bringing up new linebackers, as in Fred Warner, first-year player. You know, Solomon.
3 new offensive linemen.
Offensive linemen trying to gel. And our offensive line is way better than it was last year.
Right, and they ended up with 3 new starters.
Ridiculously better than last year. Love you, Daniel Kilgore. You were a Niner, all respect, but Weston Richburg is way better than you. Give me, I'll take the occasional downgrade that Mike McGlinchey is in his rookie year, mind you, pass blocking, then Trent Brown. To have him be the best graded by PFF, best graded offensive lineman in the league.
Yes.
In his rookie year.
And the entire thing.
And he hasn't been bad as a pass protector.
Right.
Yeah,
he's been solid. There were some clips against him and Melvin Ingram. He won the majority of the battles and barely. I don't even think he might have given a loss. I think he almost got beat, but he didn't give up a sack, so it didn't matter.
Right.
I think what was it? Like one pressure all preseason? I know damn well he didn't give up a sack all preseason.
Yeah, no.
The
offensive line pass blocking as well as run blocking has been a phenomenal upgrade. There's hope to
look
forward.
Huge shout out Mike Person.
Oh,
Mike playing hobbled and doing a pretty solid job. Freaking, you know, he was the number 3 going. He was behind Cooper. In my opinion, he was like, I thought Cooper originally was going to start when we signed him, but to be behind pretty much the 3rd string and then you end up winning the job and doing a fantastic job while being hurt, love it. Got to love it.
And the only thing, this is the compliment what you said, Adam, is Mike Pearson, a lot of people were screaming for Joshua Garnett to come in behind him because our run game was a lot better when in the beginning of the season. So in preseason when Joshua Garnett was in, they were always running to the opposite side of Joshua Garnett.
Yeah.
But Joshua Garnett was opening crazy holes. Myself and Mike, we would analyze the hell out of this. And Mike,
he's just stronger. Mike was, he's just a little better for the inside game, you know what I mean? But as far as outside, I think Mike Person still moves a little better. Or it could just be overall the trust factor with Shanahan. You know how he is.
Right.
Especially in pass pro.
And that's what I was going to say was Person has come – all of him in preseason to only better each week. He continually gets better playing, even playing hurt. He is continually getting better. So right now, if I had a greater offensive line, I'd probably give them like a B minus right now, because there's a lot of new guys there. We have a first, you know, a rookie playing left tackle.
Right. They're only ascending,
right tackle.
For sure.
Right. So definitely I would give them a B. That's something to look forward to in this season, as well as going forward. The only thing that I think I need to express to fans is just cut some slack to Lynch and Shanahan. They're doing the best that they can right now. They're not going to just sign somebody because of a name. They're signing what fits their system. They're signing what's going to make these players better all around and putting people in position to win. So I can't take
this
that
This is my
yet.
Thing about it is to me, I think what makes what we do cool and where, to me, I tell people I'll never be a media member. I will always be a fan. You feel me? I'll always call myself a fan. So,
hey, a mix would be cool, right?
Yeah, cool. But, like, if I will identify as Niner faithful, bro. Like, I'm a faithful. You feel me? So, but the thing to me is when you could use logic and reason and stats and whatnot, and not just, oh, I'm a Niner fan, so I'm just going to walk around and la, 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 everything.
And let's be honest,
goes
a lot of that is freaking social media. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, a lot of it is. But to me, it's like, look, well, you can do logic. So to me, I look at logically like, okay, the rest of this year, I think we all three of us are happy to see, you know, Richie James. I want to eventually see Julian Taylor.
Sleeper tonight.
You know,
sleeper tonight.
Yeah, Richie James.
You know,
sleeper alert, I should say. I think Kendrick will have a good game as well. Anyway, go on. I'm sorry.
Now, your hope, if you're like me, the way I look, I know a lot of people are going to scream at me and negative and whatever. Might turn off the show. I hope not. I hope not that last part. But to me, the way I look at it, every time my football team walks on the field, there's one thing and one goal, and that's the win. That's just the way I always look at it. So, me personally.
Yeah, and no matter
so,
if it's a Niner
fan. The way I look at it is what you would want ideally as a Niner fan, and to be logical about it is, okay, well, cool. Richie James shows to be what we all expect him to be, which is a semi-dynamic, you know, playmaker. Matt Breida gets healthier. C.J. Beathard gets, which kind of funny, has almost at the end of the year or, you know, approaching pretty closely, we'll have more starts in Shanahan's offense than Jimmy G. Cool. You know, we'll start to improve things. You know, we'll start to look better. And to me, if you're a person like me that wants to see the team win, that's what you're looking forward to, and that's what's having you have faith every week. It's like, look, if things are right, and I'm just not saying people are going to be superstars or whatever right away, but if you would hope Richie James kind of shows you some things, and you know, I don't know, maybe getting Marquise Dillon back for more than 96 snaps, you know, might help a little bit. You know, if you told me, let's all be realistic, if you would have told me you'd lose Jimmy G. Cool, Jerick McKinnon, Marquise, but essentially for the most part, Marquise Goodwin for pretty much the whole year. Basically, your whole O-line is going to be hurt. Turnovers. You know, Keelan Witherspoon's essentially been hurt. Sherman missed the game. And Adrian Colbert, missed one or two games?
Yeah, I think two.
I think he missed,
It was like two. I think it was two games, but I think he started.
One
I think he came in
and
played
just
game. Yeah,
he just played one.
Yeah, exactly. The thing that concerns me, and this is what I look for with Breida and Kittle and every pretty much essentially the way I looked at it is pretty much everybody's listening that's questionable, you know, pretty much for the most part. There's a couple I'll go ahead and let y'all kind of work it out, but I want to look at a couple of things, but I just want to say this real quick, is that the thing that concerns me with a lot of these players is it's going to be cold as shit in Green Bay. The later, let's say, you know, midway through the third quarter, start of the fourth quarter, it's going to start to be cold as shit. And, you know, a lot of these ankle injuries, knee injury, you know, things are going to start acting up. I'd be curious to see, you know, that's the thing. If you would ask me one of the biggest concerns that's not controlled by the Niners, you know, in our play on the field and, you know, our coaching, is it would be that. Is that, you know what, I think our advantage, and this has happened to a lot to Green Bay, our advantage would be to jump on them early.
God.
Jump on them early.
I mean, I'll be a huge believer, obviously, in taking a lead.
Yeah, jump on them early. And then just hit the shit out of Aaron Rodgers and hope that, you know, our defense can hold up.
Take a flag. Just get his ass out.
Just, I don't know, bro. Like, just, you know.
I can tell you,
you know what? Aaron Rodgers on one knee, great, elite, still Hall of Famer. You know what? Just, I'm sorry. Aaron Rodgers on one knee can't just deliver every single week.
I can tell you one thing. If it comes down to 2 minutes left or 3 or 4 minutes left in the game, don't score as fast as Kansas City did and give them that time to score because it will happen.
Yeah.
You know who is a low-key key factor on offense, in my own personal opinion? I think Alfred Morris is the guy nobody's kind of really talking about. But like you said about the weather and everything along those lines, you got to remember we're number four in the league in rushing, and Green Bay's 15. So, obviously, Breda's going to be limited. Even I think he is going to be a go, but he's going to be limited as far as his reps go. So, Alfred Morris, if I don't know what kind of production we're going to get, but I hope he gets a great game because obviously that would be good for us.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, let's put it the realistic Shanahan game plan. I mean, Shanahan's aggressive. You clearly saw last week. We're going to throw the ball. You know, this is not going to be a 50-50 football team.
No.
You know, it's just not. So, ideally, the best defense in this situation is the best run offense. And so, to me, I'm looking at Alfred Morris, and I'm saying, you know what? Matt Breida is at 60-75%. You know, it's the fourth quarter. Maybe we got a 10-point lead. I'm looking at Alfred Morris to bang me out some yards and run some clock out. Because we have to be realistic on – this is not a knock. This is not saying I don't have faith in CJ, but we got to be realistic. If we think that CJ Beathard is going to out-duel Aaron Rodgers and Lambeau Field, you know, bro, you're smoking some. Hey, pass me what you're smoking, bro. Real spit.
Weapons, and once again, he's injured. I can't kind of stop saying that and relaying that message.
Yeah, but hopefully they give him some of those meds that they gave him on that one game where he was talking on the video.
Right.
Like, hey, it was my.
Let me ask you all this question right now. Do you think Green Bay scores over 24 points?
Over 24 points, yes.
I got them like at 23 or 24. I'm confident in RD we can hold them to 24. But then, obviously, I will be going to be able to put a 25. So, it's a two-part question.
The scoring offense, it's 23 points a game.
There's ours.
So,
I'm sorry.
22 points a game.
They're 23 for them or us?
Them.
Their offense?
Back.
Okay.
Yeah, their offense
right, so
scores 22, basically 23 points a game. So, three touchdowns in the field goal. Well, ultimately, the bigger question is this. I'll answer your question, but I'll answer your question in the form of a question. I don't think that 24 points is out of the realm, you know. Do you think that 24 points is too much to overcome? Let's say 27.
I think this game is going to be closer than we think. I think it's going to be a 30-24, 27-24 type game. I don't think it's going to be a crazy blowout if all of our factors on defense actually work out.
The offensive line of the Packers
is definitely their downfall. And I think
I'm sorry, their offensive line is their downfall or ours?
Yeah, no, their offensive line is a downfall for them.
I think Brian Bulaga has been a little hurt. I don't know if he's playing tonight, to be honest with you.
Yeah, their offensive line has not been very good at all.
Yeah.
And even Mike
and
had
add Hubble Rodgers to that.
Right, and right. So that's why I said I still don't think 24 points is out of the picture. I think both teams can score 24 points. So that's why I think it's going to be, you know, it's going to be closer than a lot of fans expect. I know a lot of people are thinking that, you know, we're going to go in there in Green Bay. I was watching a guy on Facebook Live today or something in NFC Elite or something like that, and he's like, the Niners are basically coming in here and tanking the season. He's like, there's no reason we shouldn't blow them out 34-3 or something like that. And I'm just, like, laughing. Like, dude, there's a lot of factors that go into football games. The biggest factor that we have right now is how pissed off this team is about being flexed out of Sunday night games, which you saw.
By the way, do you guys even care about that? I really don't even care.
No, I don't care about that, but the players do.
Oh,
like,
yeah, sure.
You know, the players are pissed off about it, and that's good for us. There's one person, though, like you said tonight, Richie James is a you know, maybe a sleeper type of player.
I think he's a
tonight.
Sleeper. You know, he could give you
right?
those four catches, 44 yards, and gets a one TD, like Trent Taylor style or something like that.
Yep. There's one person that I think has to be able to catch the football tonight for in order for us to win. And I don't know if any of you will agree with me
Pierre
or not.
Garçon?
Exactly.
Well, Gerson is going to be a huge help, and that's what people are, like, kind of underestimating a little bit. Like, I know Gerson has kind of still been, he's had some key drops, but he's just still the same guy, but he needs somebody, like, good one on the opposite side that opens things up for him.
Exactly. He,
I said, who did you say that was the person who had to catch the ball for us to win?
Oh, talking about Pierre Garçon,
Pierre Garçon.
Obviously, one of the missed opportunities that he's had.
If you go back to one of my – at Adams, when Adam first joined me on the show, is back when Jet had his injury. I expected Pierre Garçon to be a player that had to step up, you know, in the absence of, you know, Jerick McKinnon. So to me, as far as I want to say it was Michael. Mike on Nothing But Niners, and I also heard Brian Peacock say this on the Locked On 49ers podcast, is that I think Niners fans kind of expected every player to have just a career year and an insane amount of production, you know, from every single player. And there was no factoring in the fact of that, you know, some player might be regression or anything, but you and me both saw Trent Taylor the night before the home opener, and I don't know, his body language seemed, you know, normal. But he didn't really seem happy that, you know, people were trying to take pictures with him and shit, but...
yeah.
Hey.
No, he was cool about it, though. I think the reason everybody is so against Pierre Garçon is because he had so many careers not dropping, like only dropping a single pass in an entire season. And he's got
he
like.
He was a man last year, even with Hoyer and being like kind of the primary focus of the offense, too. So, like, that's why I'm giving him some time.
Mike has gone on and said this on our show is if you look at Pierre Garçon's body language and stuff like that, he seems really ticked off with what's going on. If you go back and watch some of his pressers, you watch his body language. And then it was just funny because Mike brought that up. And at first I'm like podcasting, I'm sitting there talking to him like, Mike, you're crazy, man. Like, you're crazy. Like, this is how he does all of his interviews. But the more and more I look at it, and since that time, Pierre Garçon has dropped a lot of passes that he would normally catch. Things that hit his hands. Things that hit his hands, things that continue drives, things that keep the ball moving. And we're seeing a side of Pierre Garçon that – if you're a football fan and you've watched
never
Pierre,
seen.
You've never seen. So
let me ask you this, Nick. Sorry to interrupt you. Do you think a lot of that, kind of like the same thing, a veteran like Pierre Garçon, I think the same thing as far as our young players too. Do you think there was so much pressure on them? Like, you know, when you want to do something so damn bad, you just tend to be a little off sometimes?
Oh yeah, when you have to think or try too hard, it's going to throw your game off.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and that's why I think tonight we can get an upset. A little less pressure, a little more of a nothing to lose, essentially, kind of mentality, you know? Like, everyone's against us, you know? Like you said, disrespect, getting flexed out and all that.
Yep. And I think that our players tonight –
The key to victory and the blog, the preview I did for Nothing But Niners.
Yeah, I read that.
But yeah, the players are clearly took that as a slap in the face of having a game that's flexed out, and I think that's a team that you're going to see fired up. The thing that worries me is I'll go ahead and let y'all speak after this. I'm going to turn my mic off a little bit, and there's a couple of points I wanted to point out in this. I definitely feel that. 2 points is Niners. The only way I see this Niners losing is if it's like a if we have to score, I would say more than 30 points. If we have to score like 33 points, that might be a little. We might be a little challenged to score 33 points, and that I think the number one factor is pride. And, you know, I feel that, you know, at least they talk it, you know, and, you know, I would assume they walk it is that John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan have both talked about the expectations of what this organization is. And I feel that overall we're headed in the right direction because realistically – you couldn't expect, like you essentially said, Nick, this wasn't a Super Bowl caliber team. To compete for championships, you have to have a championship quality roster. And that clearly, you know, we clearly were there. And so that the expectations kind of got fast forwarded a little bit. Because, you know, we got essentially the number one piece, which is a franchise quarterback. But I think maybe because it's been a long time and, you know, we forgot what it seemed. But we don't – clearly, like you said, we don't have that number one receiver. We don't have that T.O. We don't have that – I'll even take a John Taylor right now. But – that was kind of just my two cents. I was going to go ahead and let y'all kind of wrap and look at these stats real quick. There was a couple of things I wanted to point out real fast.
Yeah, so I mean, I agree with Jay in one particular point is I don't agree that we have to score over 30 points to beat this team. I think we just have to be fundamentally sound. But the only way we're going to win this game, obviously, is to score more points. So, I think the X factor, like I said earlier, Adam, is that we definitely have to have some type of pass rush. We have to get up early, and we have to have key, contributions from players like Pierre Garçon or George Kittle, and Reuben Foster and Fred Warner, and. You know, just the defense as a whole, I think everybody on the defense has to play football tonight. Correct. And, you know, for us to even have an opportunity to win this game or keep us in this game, because if we're not tackling and we're missing tackles or we're not getting enough pressure and getting to Aaron Rodgers, get on him, closing that mobility to where he's injured, he can't get out of the pocket, he will eat us alive, and it will be a long night. We can't underestimate Aaron Rodgers, injured or not. He's still Aaron Rodgers.
True.
But the key factor to all of that is to be able to play fundamental football, you know, the less the penalties, more control of the football, and, you know, basically all the keys to victory that you have to do to win a football any given Sunday, Thursday, you know, Monday. You got to go out and play football, and you got to play it fundamentally sound. And you have to be smart, and you can't be running around with your head on a swivel, and you got to be able to pinpoint what your job is all 11 men on offense and defense need to do their job, and everything has to work out perfectly to beat a team that any team. It could be the Jacksonville Jaguars. It could be, you know, with Blake Bortles. It could be any team, and you have to capitalize on everything that you do correctly. And that's pretty much all I can say. You know, we all hope for a Niners win tonight. Is it impossible? No, it's definitely not impossible because anything can happen. Do I think it's going to be a harder road than it would be if we were a fresh, healthy team? Absolutely. You know, because we are definitely decimated with injuries, has definitely put a burden on our season. But if you're faithful, you know how it works. And, you know, we have to stick by our teams. And understand that this team was not a Super Bowl contender this year, but it's all the process of building, and that's the whole quota of brick by brick. Basically, we are building it brick by brick, and we will eventually get there. Just, you know, to stay faithful and don't let anything else get to us. You know, injuries are going to happen, and we just got to stay prideful and understand that you're a Niners fan through and through. And shit happens, and, you know, I'm not going to say it yet because we're only 1-4, so I can't say on to next season or on to the draft yet because anything can happen. You can still start 1-4, and you can still end up, depending on your opponents, your players, the division. Anything can happen, so.
Right.
Well, yeah. So just, I found where
I
was
comes down to winning one out of the next two games, and then after that you got Cards, Raiders, Giants, which are three winnable games. So I'm not holding my breath. I'm not going to be negative. I don't want to blow a bunch of smoke, but we're going to get our answer relatively soon, the next couple hours. I'm still freaking refreshing my freaking Twitter page every other second.
Did you guys see? I know this isn't Niners related, but. Navarro Bowman's actually trying out for the Cleveland Browns right now.
Yeah,
you guys
didn't
see that. And
also,
the Seahawks owner died at 65. Man, you know, prayers out. Even though I'm not a fan of the Seahawks or anything like that, but I mean that's a young age. So you know, my condolences to his family and things like that as well. So crazy, man.
Yeah,
65 years old.
Wow, that is insane. And that's why I always say, freaking, don't take any day for granted. Enjoy yourselves because we're not promised absolutely nothing. Enjoy the game tonight because, once again, you know, they could all be taken away. And next thing you know, you're gone.
Enjoy what is in front of you and don't cry about what's not. So.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's definitely.
Right. Predictions? What are we talking?
Predictions? Oh, man, you're going to put me on the spot here.
I'll go first. I said mine earlier. I got 49ers 23-22. I got them missing an extra point and pretty much getting two touchdowns, the rest field goals. So you
got the Niners
so
winning
23-22. I got them getting three field goals and two touchdowns.
All right. I'm probably going to be not that I don't have faith that our team can win, but like I said, it's going to take every single ounce of energy and player to be able to do that. I don't feel that our players are going to do that today. I hate to be the Debbie Downer, but I think we lose.
No, I'm not Debbie Downer. You're keeping it real. It's all good. I always respect that.
I think we lose 28-24.
28-24. All right. TJ? Or me and Nick still going live?
Yeah. I was thinking I said we pull it out 27-24. I said that.
Another thing I was going to tell you, Nick. Go ahead.
Robbie Gould punches it in. A game winner as time ticks down. I won't necessarily say maybe. But essentially, a game-winning field goal.
Yeah.
As time ticks
down 22-20, and Robbie Gould brings it home.
Yeah.
All right.
There you go.
Robbie Gould today. Hey, guys, I hope you are absolutely 100% correct, and I am 100% wrong. Believe that, just so you know. But you know, I gotta keep it real. You know, I love this team in and out. I see the problems. I see what we need to fix. I'm not sure that it's gonna get fixed on 1 week with a running back coming off of injury. Not sure what's gonna happen with playing in the cold weather. But I would love for the Niners to pull one out this week. But I just don't see it happening yet, but I'm going to stick with my 28-24. But, yeah, man, I really appreciate you guys having me on the show. What's that?
It's been fun. It's been fun.
I could easily see that. That is not unrealistic to think. I could even see 31-24, 31-20, that type of score.
And Nick, here's what it comes down to. Honestly, it comes down to Devontae Adams and Jimmy Graham. The cool thing is, this is going to be the fourth game in a row that Malcolm Smith and Reuben Foster will actually be playing alongside Fred Warner. Jacquiski Tart is healthy, which is really key as far as matching up with Graham. So, kind of another reason why I think we can hold them to just enough points with Allison and Cobb being out, because I think it kind of comes down to Graham, who I think will match up very good with. And then Devontae Adams, are they going to line him up with Akello on the left side? I'm not sure. I wouldn't actually take it out of the equation as far as Sherman possibly just shadowing Devontae Adams the whole time, because he's the only one, in my own personal opinion, that really kind of gives him that threat.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I totally agree with you guys.
We'll see, though.
Solis said they're going to mix it up, you know, but they're, you know, and I play it how they would, but they're not going to.
By the way, just got an update from Nick Wagner. George Kittle is out for the preseason game warm-ups, out as in he's on the field, so all signs point to him being ready for tonight.
Okay. That's big.
When you said out, I was like, holy shit. Any word on Breida?
All signs been pointing to him to go in as well, in my own personal opinion, but hopefully we get that one next.
Yeah, I think him, Barson, and Kittle are all active. So
I think Breida will just be limited as far as reps go. So I'm just praying for a nice little bumbling, bruising type of Alfred Morris performance.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you think about it, Breida's had limited action all year. I mean, only 10 to 12 carries a game, so that's pretty limited for him. But you know, I could still see around 8 to 10. Carries, hopefully more. But, I mean, he is the leading rusher in the league for 20-plus yard runs, so you never know.
I think it's important just to have as a threat out of the passing game. That's what I really – I trust Morris to go ahead and do more of, obviously, the load running. But, you know, I want him as that threat. You know, we know how Shanahan does things. It's all about just kind of creating threats on the field. And, I'm so stoked to see Goodwin healthy. He's been out on the Lambo shirtless freaking warming up. How crazy is that?
Yeah. That's funny. But yeah, guys, I'm going to hop off here because I got some stuff to do before I get situated. I really appreciate
you allowing me on, bro.
Yeah, and thank then you so much, if you guys don't know who I am, you can find me on Twitter at 49erFaithful365, as well as at NothingButNiners. TJ writes for me as well. You can follow our website. You can check out all of our social media there at NothingButNiners.com. And yeah, guys, if you want to give me a follow on Twitter, hit me up, 49erFaithful365. I'm always willing to talk 49ers. And, guys, once again, it was a pleasure. I thank you so much for having me on. And
sure. Go follow me, y'all. Thanks for being on, Nick. It was cool talking. It was awesome talking with you.
Definitely.
Hey,
go Niners.
We got to get you back out here too, brother.
Yeah, man.
I know. I want to come out there sometime this year. We'll see what's up. We'll see how it goes.
Definitely. All right,
brother.
Like I said, man, I appreciate it, and you guys have a good night, and hopefully we pull off this
victory. For sure.
You
won't be doing our thing on Twitter. Don't worry. We're not going to not be talking for the rest of the night. That's for sure.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, man.
Of course.
All right, guys.
All right, brother. Go
Niners.
We'll catch
you later, man. All right.
All right, peace.
All right, go Niners. That was awesome. So,
yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, I had reached out to him, and at home, he said he was going to try to make it last week and didn't make it. And he said he was really, really going to try to make it this week. So that was cool to be able to have Nick on the show. I've been trying to get him on for a minute.
Yeah.
But, Nick brought up a million amazing good points. That was actually really dope. Just being able to have the three of us wrap it up. But, to me, I think – so we had all agreed that, you know, we need to put pressure on Aaron Rodgers. To you, who is your X factor on doing that? Who is somebody? So who do you say, somebody? You're saying that if I come to you and I say, hey, Adam, the Niners are going to sack Aaron Rodgers four times tonight. Non-DeForest Buckner. Let's just say Defoe gets one or two. Besides Defoe, who are you thinking like, okay, they are obviously clearly made it a point to stop Defoe, so this player has a game of his career because of it.
Shoot. Some people might think I'm crazy. I really do believe Rodgers is going to be dumping the ball off pretty darn fast, like the most he has in a great while. I don't think he's going to even kind of get close to taking some hits as far as somebody from the outside, or else, you know, maybe I would go more of an edge rusher, which we really don't have a lot, obviously, except Marsh. But I think it might come down to Arik Armstead, and I know that might sound a little crazy. He's been getting most of the snaps in nickel on the inside next to Buckner. Obviously, solely snaps have been going up a little steadily as the week's been going by. So, you know, I would say number one, Armstead, but then after that, probably any out of the three as far as solely, you know, Earl Mitchell and Sheldon Day go. Those are my X factors on D. As far as defensive line goes. But, you know, Colbert really important, Tart really important to be able to match up with Graham. You know, obviously, freaking Colbert's been our center fielder, so really important.
Well, speaking of Colbert, I have to do this because after that play, let's give credit where credit due. He played a fairly good game after that first play. You know,
right.
So he deserves to at least have that little bit of nod. I agree with you. I'm going to stay. To me, is I agree with you. And for some reason, I hope that this becomes a point. And this play, my little X factor is going to be, I think Defoe is going to go off. I think if you're talking about DeForest Buckner and Reuben Foster, a lot of these players making their Monday night debut, my player is Cassius Marsh.
Not a bad pick. I just, you know, I just don't know how confident I feel that if he's even going to have enough time to get to Rodgers, because I just think he's going to be, once again, just freaking dumping that thing off so much, which is probably makes the linebackers that much more of a focal point, I'm sorry, I should say tonight, just because I can see him dumping that off a lot, you know, so they're going to have to do all the dirty work.
No. I do, and I'm just hoping that maybe – I'm not necessarily saying sacks, but to me, I think if you're going, let's say, a quick screen game, or somehow he's going to have an impact on the game. I feel that to me, he's a high effort player. And, you know, it is, you know, everybody's saying sack. I don't think it's sacks today.
Yeah, I agree with
because
you.
I
pressure
think that,
is the
I'm
most
going
important,
to Cassius
especially
Marsh.
On a game like tonight.
Yeah, I'm going to Cassius Marsh, and I'm almost telling him, yeah, you know what? You know, can we all agree? Look, if Aaron Rodgers fills us with his legs tonight, I'll take that. I'll put my money down on that. I'll put my money down that a quarterback who is not really, you know, famous for his legs is going to come and beat us, you know, in a competition. He's not going to beat us with his legs.
No.
I'll put my money down that Aaron Rodgers is not going to do that. So I'm telling I'm telling Cassius Marsh, you know, whoever, is it almost just, hey, almost like a pseudo linebacker role, almost. It's almost like, hey, look, I want you to, you're not going to get to him, but we need him to make plays still be able to affect the game.
Right.
You feel me? Whether that's bat downs, whether that's quarterback hits, whether that's tackles for losses, it's just somebody, whether it's Cassius Morris, DeForest Buckner, Solomon Thomas. And to me, it's this game where, you know, I'm not going to say Solomon Thomas is a complete bust if, you know, he doesn't have a monster game this game, but...
What you mean complete, sir?
I'm not saying that he's just... I want to see something from him tonight.
I totally agree with you. And here's pretty much my bottom line on Solomon Thomas. Once again, in my own opinion, you can respect it. You can choose to call me a jackass on the inside if anybody likes. But what it comes down to is, in my own personal opinion, I think he's a very good base player. Obviously, he played base defensive end, great against the run. I think he has more than enough athleticism to be able to play defensive end and base. But then it comes down to a nickel because of Armstead's emergence and kind of being that guy that we kind of envision as far as just big, strong, kind of bull rushing and bulldozing his way through. You know, he's essentially stolen some of the snaps that Sully was getting in nickel inside next to Buck last year. And obviously now it's more of an Armstead and Buckner show, but that doesn't mean we have to crap on Solomon Thomas because he hasn't been playing as much inside where he's best off in nickel. I think that's pretty much what it comes down to.
You really want to know is my best hope for Solomon Thomas is next year. Because let's just say ideally that Armstead isn't here next year via trade,
right?
Via cutting, via whatever.
Right.
And ideally, Solomon Thomas plays inside. And I think then maybe next year, because Dennis Brown, who does the pregame for Niners the Niners on KNBR here in the Bay Area, he essentially said Solomon Thomas is out of position. He's an inside player.
Right.
And
in nickel he is. In base he's just fine
year,
on the edge, you know.
He's not an elite edge, third down nickel edge rusher.
He's not an edge rusher nickel. He plays the edge and base where, you know, obviously most
teams
need to do a short pass or run.
Yeah. Oh, I agree with you there. Yeah. But to me, I think his best game is him and DeForest Buckner on the inside eating up. And then ideally we have Nick Bosa or a free agent edge rusher eating because we force him out on the edge. I think we have your boy on the line. I'm going to go ahead and let you see if it's...
Yeah, I told him to call in. We'll let him introduce himself. But, Chase Isidoro. Hope I pronounced that right. What up, Chase? Not too much. How you doing, my dog?
Good. Just getting ready for this Niners game. I don't know how I feel about this. How are you guys feeling?
All right. Well, I mean, let's get your take on it. We've been talking about it for almost an hour and a half. I hope that's okay, TJ.
Yeah, of course.
Let us know how you feel,
so
Chase. What's going on?
I don't know, man. Like, I feel like we're going to be one of those teams like how we were last year, how we're going to be in every game, and then, like, there's going to be something like a fumble or a pick that just kills us at the end. So that's good that we're competitive. But, I mean, can we break down Rodgers? You know, it's going to be hard. And like you were saying, you know, his legs ain't going to beat us. I don't think they have to beat us tonight. A lot of their offense is based off of, you know, him finding the right read, and it needs to be a defender to make the play. Like on a lot of those like flat and slant plays. And then a lot of like the dig routes over the middle, they run multiples of those. So it'll be interesting to see how our secondary can handle that, especially because we've been so bad these last couple weeks.
Right. And I'm not sure if you're aware, but Randall, it obviously helps in our favor that Randall Cobb and Geronimo Allison, I believe is how you pronounce it. So their slot and number two wide receiver are out tonight. So big boost for
absolutely
us, obviously, once again, Rodgers immobile. kind of relatively healthy on defense, you know, which makes me that much more excited to see him tonight. You know, it's going to be like the fourth game that Malcolm Smith and Reuben Foster will be actually playing together alongside Fred Warner. So they're developing that chemistry. You know, look for Rodgers to dump it off a lot because he is kind of immobile. But obviously with our scheme that we run and obviously being healthy in our linebackers, and then Jaquiski Tartt, which is a very huge important part as far as being able to match up with Jimmy Graham and everything. So you're pretty much looking at, you know, Devontae Adams and Jimmy Graham having to kind of beat us tonight. And with the scheme that we run and having help on defense, I said earlier, the key is, can the 49ers hold the Packers to 24 points? What do you think?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know about that. The thing is, I've been watching a lot, and they run a lot of Devontae Adams close to the line and on the left. So I don't think Sherman's going to be covering him, which means they'll probably throw, like, a Quanamia, St.
Yeah.
Brown, him or Valdez-Scantling over on Sherman's side, and then they're going to try to use basically Devontae Adams. And I agree. I think our defense is up to the task. I think our defense is what was good. I'm glad we got Matt Breida going tonight. That's got me stoked right now. But
right, good
time,
one. Kittle looks on track.
Yeah, right. I just don't know, though. Like, I just don't have the confidence. I don't know why. I like this team. Like, I know they still perform well. The pass rush and obviously not getting any takeaways on defense is going to be hurt. I don't know if we do that again tonight.
Yeah.
I don't think we get many takeaways.
I totally
or
know how you
well.
Feel. You're just unsure, like, what we're actually going to see on both sides of the ball. And once again, the key is 49ers still to this day. You know, obviously it's game six today. We still haven't played four quarters of good football. So, I mean, I understand. I'm not nervous because it's not like, oh, my God, you know, like, we got freaking crazy, you know, implications on this season, obviously with the circumstance we're dealing with now. But I really don't know what to get. But once again, I'm excited for the defense to see what we're able to do tonight against them. And then the Packers actually have very sneakily the number four ranked defense. So what kind of performance are we going to put up against them? Obviously, Goodwin's a huge boost for that.
Yeah, they have a really good pass defense as well, and but they've been shaky at times. Sometimes the pass defense shows up, sometimes it doesn't. But when it shows up, it's legit. So that's really what's going to come down to.
Yards, passing yards.
Yeah, I know. But the one thing I will say is, compared to last season and even the preseason, C.J. Beathard has looked damn good. I will say that. I had no confidence from that preseason performances he had, and then even besides the Giants game last year, he didn't look that great. And he's come in and done well. I don't think most of those picks have been his fault. He's kind of been snake bit a little bit. Pocket presence should be better, but with the fumbles. But I think CJ can do it, and I think he's got a lot of confidence, and I definitely think the team's behind him. So it's going to be interesting.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I think they got us what 9.5 for the Packers on the betting line right now. I at the beginning of the week when they had Allison and Cobb probably maybe going. I was thinking that.
I'm wondering if
they're
not
going to cover that
with the injury thing out.
Yeah, I don't know.
It doesn't really matter who gives a shit. I'm not betting on the game.
Yeah, right. Definitely not.
I think we'll cover. If somebody is betting out there, I think the 49ers will cover. Don't come and shoot me if we don't.
I think
we'll cover. Like they did a lot of the times last year.
Wait, so I'm not a big bettor. So let me make this sure. If I were to say, I take the Niners in this one to cover. Basically, I'm saying the Packers have to beat us by 10 points.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
Okay. I don't see us.
We have to finish within 10 points if it's at 9.5. So, I mean, it's close. It could happen because, I mean, we've seen it the game against the Chargers when they got pick sixes and stuff. And the Cardinals when they got pick sixes.
Yeah.
They ran up the score at the end when it was a lot closer. So it could happen where we don't cover. We just don't know.
It's true. You never know. You never know what's going to happen, especially with garbage time, if it possibly ends up occurring, whatever. But Niners covered 10 times last year. So just kind of throwing that back that they won more and they lost their bets.
So, Jace, first of all, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for coming on.
Of course.
Really, really, really appreciate it. Before we get into our conversation, there was a couple of things. There was some personal business. I had some show business I had to handle. But why don't you go ahead and plug all your, the info for the show and social media and all that. And then when I bring people on the show for the first time, I like to tell them what I call their faithful story. I met I met somebody who basically is up there in the Niners organization that had a lot to do with that show, The Faithful. And I kind of talked to him about it, and I said, you know, that was kind of the coolest part I thought about that show was being able to hear people's stories. So why don't we start with exactly, especially somebody living in San Diego, how does somebody living in San Diego become a Niners fan?
Because Dean Spanos is one of the worst persons on the planet. No, I was actually a diehard Charger fan most of my life. Like diehard, knew everybody on the team, everything. And then I started following loosely right around the Harbaugh era, because I had some friends that were diehard Niners fans. So I started following loosely around there, and it was always good because our games were always blacked out, so I'd at least get to watch them. And then once they moved, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to jump on the Niners. Like, it's close to home, and it's in California, and I can't root for L.A. teams. So I was down. So I'm down for the Niners, and I hopped on for the Brian Hoyer show, and, man, I'm so glad I got Jimmy.
Wow, what a story there. But, hey, guys, sorry to interrupt. You guys go ahead and finish out the show and everything. Chase, I'm guessing I'll still see you tonight for the game?
Yep, I will be there.
All right, sweet. I'm going to go get this gym session in. All right, TJ, thanks again, my man. I'll talk to you soon, all right?
Yes, sir.
Take care, y'all. Go Niners, baby.
Yep, go Niners. Yeah, so okay, so we yeah, good. I'm glad because I'm not gonna have him on the air. That's not a Niner fan. I apologize for that. I'll talk to Adam about that later. We will not have that man back on here. That, ladies and gentlemen, is what we call a bandwagoner. But so I will holler at Adam about that. Well, that kind of killed the rest of the show, so I think that we're going to go ahead and get up out of here. Yeah, so I can go handle some personal business that I have to handle. But that was a really good show. I really enjoyed having it. It's about an hour and a half. That's pretty good. So I'd like to thank everybody for listening this week. I shall see y'all next week. Back to our normal time. Same bad time. Same bat channel. Till then, I'm going to say peace, love, and nappiness. Peace, faith, love, and nappiness. Go Niners.